we live by the faith of the Son of God.
Faith ensures productivity.
That means every time we mix faith with the Word of God, we are productive. The Word is the gospel. That means the gospel was designed for your faith. The gospel, the Word of God, is the raw material for faith. The factory for the fabrication of faith is your spirit. The machine, Malakaya. The equipment for fabricating the faith is meditation. You need to raise the level of your faith so you can raise the level of your productivity.
Demonstrating confidence in the covenant. Demonstrating confidence in the covenant. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. It says, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit. We rejoice in Christ Jesus, and we have no confidence in the flesh. There are things you read and you said, oh God, thank you. Give me Amplified Translation. I will read TLB for you from here. It says, for we Christians are the true circumcision. We worship God in spirit and by the spirit of God, and exalt and glory and pride ourselves in Christ Jesus. So God is not against boasting, but what are you boasting in? Hallelujah. He says, we pride ourselves in Christ Jesus and put no confidence or dependence on what we are in the flesh and on outward privileges, you know, outward privileges, and physical advantages and external appearances. I mean, he lists out everything there. That means your eyes are only to be focused on Christ and what he has done. Let me read TLB. For it isn't the cutting of our bodies that makes us children of God. It is worshiping him with our spirit. That is the only true circumcision. He says, we Christians glory in what Christ has done for us. Did you get that? That's the line I want you to get there. We glory in what Christ has done for us and realize that we are helpless to save ourselves. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. Glory to God forevermore. All right, we began to share in this series about the reality of the new covenant, how that what God did with Abraham, what you call the Abrahamic covenant, was concerning Christ. Galatians chapter 3 verse 17 shows us that this covenant is concerning Christ. You know, when Paul was arguing that the law that was given 330 years later cannot disannul that which was given by promise. You remember? That's chapter 17. But we drew out something from there, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God concerning Christ. So every time you hear about the Abrahamic covenant or hear about the new covenant, think about Christ. Think about what Christ has done. You see that in Philippians 3:3. He says, we boast in what Christ has done. So everything, what God did with Abraham was concerning Christ. Are you with me? What we call the new covenant is concerning Christ. Glory to God forevermore. So that must be on your mind. It's about Christ. It's about what he has done. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. All right, Hebrews 6, 13 to 19. Give me King James Version. We'll read it. And then we'll take off. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Now we get serious. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. That means every argument ends when there's an oath. That's what he's saying. He says, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. That means when God was dealing with Abraham, he had the heir of the promise in mind. He had the heirs of the promise in mind. Hallelujah. He had you and I in mind. So God's dealings with Abraham, the repercussion was beyond Abraham. It was for the whole human race. Remember, he told Abraham, he says, in you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So God had us in mind when he was dealing with Abraham. And then we examined that Abrahamic covenant to understand what the writer of Hebrews is talking about. That's in Genesis 15 now, where the covenant was called. God spoke to Abraham, he says, fear not, I am your shield, your exceeding great reward. And Abraham says, God, what will you give me seeing I go childless? And God told him, say, come out of your tent, look towards heaven. And then he saw the stars. He says, if you are able to tell the story of the stars, so shall your seed be. And Abraham saw Christ preached to the constellations. Hallelujah. And the Bible says Abraham believed God, and it was credited to his account for righteousness. So he was the beginning of the righteousness of faith. Are you with me? He was the beginning of the righteousness of faith. But he didn't stop there. God told him, I'll give you all this land. If you read carefully, God was willing the whole world to him. And Abraham says, Lord, how am I going to be sure that I will inherit it? You know, something stands out there, and it's the fact that God can go to any length to get to a man. Amazing. God was not offended. Abraham, I thought you just believed. You are still asking me. No, he wasn't offended. You remember in Genesis 18, when Sarah laughed, God said, Sarah shall have a child. And Sarah laughed. And God said, why did Sarah laugh? It was a theophany. God appearing in a visible form, right? And the Lord said, why did Sarah laugh? And Sarah said, I did not laugh. I did not laugh. But you know what God said? He said, but you laughed, that's all. Is anything too hard to the Lord? At this time, according to the time of life, Sarah shall embrace the son. There was no, El Shaddai, El Elyon is here. And before him, you are denying. It's not even the lie. She denies. No, I did not lie. You. Amen. Why? God understood that she was afraid. Amen. Now, I'm not making an argument for lies. You know what Paul said in the New Testament? He said, put away lying as those who have been born from the dead, as those who are born again. Are we together? Glory to God. That means you have the ability not to lie. The root of lie is selfishness and fear. And Christ has dealt with the two. Are you with me? All right, glory to God. But here's my point. God was willing to show to Abraham, and by extension, his seed, the immutability of his counsel. Meaning that God spoke it, meant everything is going to come to pass. But he went further to assure our hearts by confirming it by an oath. Are you with me? So as far as God is concerned, what he has spoken, what he has made available is tight, is solid, it is certain. That you should not die but live and proclaim his counsel is certain. Nothing can change that word. It's a blood-sworn word. Amen. That wealth and riches are in your house, and that your righteousness endures forever is a blood-sworn word. Nothing will shake it. Are you with me? So on our side now, we are to develop and demonstrate confidence in this thing. And that's what we're talking about. We've talked about developing confidence, the hearing of faith. I listed five things for us. So how do we demonstrate confidence in this thing? Remember, I told you that the simple definition of faith is demonstrating confidence in the covenant. How many of you remember that? That is what faith is. So we're talking about walking in the light of the covenant. What does it mean? Remember, the wisdom and the power of God is revealed in the demonstration of our confidence in this thing. That is the design. That is the design. Mike Murdoch once said that God's greatest obsession is to be believed. That's just the way it works. When the believer steps out, acting on God's word, okay, steps out demonstrating his reliance on this new covenant, the forces of the spirit, the forces of heaven are moved to act on his behalf. Are you with me? It's a law. Faith is a law. He says, by what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. What does it mean, the law of faith? That means every action, everything you do in demonstration of your confidence in this covenant is a law. It has predictable outcome. You commit God to perform. Elizabeth said, blessed is she that believes, for unto her there shall be a performance of the things that was shown her. There shall be a performance. Are you with me? There shall be a performance. So I said the power and the wisdom of God is released as we demonstrate our confidence in the things we've been hearing. Is released. We saw God direct the stone that David shot to the giant's weak point, and it sank into his forehead. If he had not thrown the stone, there was nothing God would have directed. All those 40 days, God was waiting for the first man that would make a move, that would demonstrate confidence in the Abrahamic covenant. So when the young boy came, God did not say, well, you are 17. No. The realm of the spirit backed him up. Goliath fell down. But you see, he wasn't haphazard. He acted based on persuasion. He acted based on persuasion. Glory to God forevermore. So how do we demonstrate confidence in this thing? Number one, proclamations of faith. Hallelujah. Proclamations of faith. Proclamations of faith. Proclamations of faith. The first demonstration of your reliance on this thing is your utterance. You see, when the word of God finally captures your tongue, it will control your outcomes. Amen. That's the first place. I teach that the first corresponding action of faith are words, speaking, confession. And that is very biblical. Very biblical. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. He said, whatever you do, what is the first doing? In word. You can see. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. That means speaking is doing. Oh, you didn't get that. Speaking is doing. Speaking is walk. Oh, this church is sleeping. In Genesis chapter 1, when God began to recreate the whole world, we saw that day 1, he spoke lighting to be. Day 2, day 3, day 4, day 5, day 6, he made man. And then day 7, the Bible says he rested from his walk. What walk was he doing? Speaking. It was mouth walk. Write this down. Your mouth talk is superior to your handwork. Why? Because your mouth talk gives value to your handwork. Are you with me? That is the first way we demonstrate our reliance on the covenant. Our utterance, our speakings, our words, our affirmations, the things we say, I call it proclamations of faith. You cannot believe God's word, believe the new covenant, and it will not affect your mouth. It's not possible. You don't believe it. No, you don't believe it. When you come into faith, you must talk. Oh, you must talk. Give me 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. Your mouth must talk. Is somebody here? Your mouth must talk. That is how it starts. All through the scriptures, everyone who stepped out to stand to defend God's heritage, to stand to repel the forces of darkness. Oh, you read Faith Hall of Fame in Hebrews chapter 11. Go and trace them. They spoke. Oh, they spoke. Oh, they were not mute. They spoke. David wrote what we're about to read now. And David lived out what he wrote. He said, we have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore we speak. We can never be tired of hearing this. No, we can't. You must speak. You must guide your utterance. And this speaking begins with training your tongue to say nothing but the things that are consistent with this covenant. That's the first thing. You don't see anything if it's not provided in the covenant. You don't say what you feel. The Bible calls that evil report. You say what is consistent with the new covenant. We have in the same spirit of faith. As it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore we speak. If you are not speaking it, you don't believe it. You believe in protection, speak it. I will never die. Don't say no. If you say it now, witches will hear. No, the power is in the utterance. Let them hear. And so what? There's nothing they can do about it. Oh, didn't you read about David? David was old covenant to blood of bulls and goats. He spoke for the giants to hear. Oh, until your Goliath hears you, he's not going down. Oh, I feel like preaching. I know I'm preaching good. Until the Goliath hears you, he's not going down. So all those talk, no, I don't want to say it. I don't want them to hear it. You're wasting your time. Until your Goliath hears your words, he's not going down. Read 2 Samuel chapter 17. Oh, David spoke what to? Emarabako seba. Go and count it. He spoke more words than Goliath. He did. That was a demonstration of his confidence in the covenant. He spoke. Oh, you would talk. You will talk to yourself. You will talk to your mind. You will talk to your body. You will talk to things. You will talk to your eyes. You will talk to everything. Are you with me? You will talk to your family. You will talk to your children. You will talk to your city. You will talk to your generation. My generation must praise your name, O God. You are talking. Oh, you must talk. You can't be quiet. You will stretch your hand over that institution and say, you will not be lost. The light of the glorious gospel will shine here. Oh, you will talk. Are you with me? Your utterance. The spirit of faith talks. Faith is not mute. I've said this again and again. Faith is not mute. Faith is a loud speaker. It's not mute. Faith speaks loud. Covenant people speak loud. Why? We are boasting in what Christ has done. Oh, we speak loud. We speak loud. And the more developed you are in your confidence in this thing, the louder you speak. But can I give you one secret? Part of developing that confidence is still speaking. It's still speaking. I told you that meditation involves talking, right? Muttering is still speaking. You speak. Your spirit is designed to hear words. Most importantly, your words. Oh, you are walking in your room. I will never be broke another day of my life. I will never be small. I will never be defeated. In the name of Jesus, I will never be sick. I will never be sick. In the name of Jesus. That is not denying physical facts. No. No, that is superimposing a higher law on physical facts. Talk! Because talk is work. Speaking is doing. Are you with me? You've got to talk. If you truly believe. The realm of the spirit. The realm of the spirit waits on your proclamations. He does. In the realm of the spirit. That's angels. Demons. The laws that God has set in place. They are waiting for you to talk. In fact, the physical realm waits on your words. Why? It's been designed to respond to the word of God on your lips. You remember on the mountain when the voice came from heaven? He says, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. What followed? Hear ye him. Hear ye him. This is God speaking to all of creation to hear his son. Who is his son? The word. The word. Are you with me? In Genesis 1:3, when God was creating the earth, what did he do? The Bible said the spirit of the Lord was moving. But you see, the spirit did not do anything until God spoke. It says, and God said, light be. Go and think about it. There was darkness, the spirit of the Lord was moving, but nothing happened until God spoke. And he says, light be. And the Bible says, there was light. Reading the Bible further, we're told that the heavens and the earth were made by the Spirit of God. By his Spirit, he garnished the heavens. That shows you that the Spirit of God used the word that was spoken. to recreate the world. He says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. By the word of God. Listen, and listen to me very carefully. Once you master this thing called faith proclamations, you have mastered life. Truthfully, your mastery, you need to hear this. Your mastery over life is measured by your mastery over words. That's what measures your mastery over life. James talks about it. He said, he that offend not in word, able to bridle his tongue, right? Amen. He says, in many things he do offend. But by this we know a perfect man, a mature man. He that offend not in word, but is able to bridle his tongue. The same is a perfect man. The same is a mature man. The same is a master. He's talking about mastery there. Mastery. This is a major way we master life. Learning to submit your utterance to the provisions of the gospel, of the covenant. Language was meant for man. Man was not meant for language. That means you don't let language defeat you. That means in a bit to sound civilized, you don't break spiritual laws. Here's something about spiritual laws. That you didn't mean it is not important. You will enjoy the consequences. Are you with me? Somebody said there was somebody with a gun in the aircraft. That's why I jumped from the aircraft. Gravity will not understand that. Look, there was a gun. Somebody was trying to kill him in the aircraft. So he had to jump. No, the laws are set. You will enjoy the consequences. You are killing me. Okay, continue. They are killing you. Man, that car, they kill me. Oh boy, I don't die. Man, I broke city, nothing they left. You are programming your spirit for failure. Master words. To master words is to master life. Are you with me? Oh, it's so scary. I was so scared. I'm afraid I can't come today. Must you be afraid? Amen. Listen, that's been a slave of language. Are you with me? No, you are laughing about it now. It sounds easy. Many people are stuck today. Let me drop this for you so that you get to once and for all. You are where you are now by the things you've been hearing and by the words you've been speaking. You can write it somewhere. Where you will be tomorrow will be dependent on the things you are hearing now and the words you decide to speak. Maybe having a good marriage is not for people like us. You have trapped yourself. Maybe this prosperity thing is not for people like us. Listen, Satan, I told you the realm of the spirit is waiting on your words. That means the spirit realm has nothing to work with yet until you speak. Are you with me? But unfortunately, you are either speaking life or speaking death. There's no vacuum. You're already speaking. Are you with me? Very important. This was Job's problem. Job chapter 3, verse 25 to 26. You can put it up. And then compare with Job 1:10. This was his problem. Many Christians forget that Job did not have the book of Job to read. Selah, did you understand what I just said? You have the book of Job to read. I mean, from the beginning, he was self-righteous until God appeared to him and began to ask him difficult questions. He says, do you know Orion and her sons? Have you heard of Mazaroth? Do you know Pleiades? How he goes forth? Do you know the ordinances of heaven? Can you use them to regulate the earth? That was God talking to him. He began to mention creatures he never heard of growing up. And I say, I've heard of you by the hearing of the ears. Now my eyes see thee. And then he repents in ashes. He was being self-righteous. Put a scripture up for me. Amen. Job 3, 25, 26. You know, it's a whole series. I taught on your tongue and your destiny in March, so you can go get it. He said, for the things which are greatly feared, he's come upon me. So fear is an attractant. It attracts to you the object of your fear. He said, the things I greatly fear that come upon me. Somebody say, if you can be afraid of you, it will come to you. That's the wisdom of man. It will come to you. If you are afraid you have a bad marriage, it will come to you. Start renewing your mind now. Are you with me? If you are afraid you'll be broke, it will come to you. Start renewing your mind now. There's no way. Renew your mind. How do you start? Start talking. Aya. Start talking. Am I saying the fear, the thought will not come? It will come, but talk. Don't respond to the thought with thought. No, respond to it with words. When it comes, take your time and smile. I say, you know what? This can never happen to me. Because this is what the word has said. You declare the word and decree it and continue. With time, you will break the power of that thought. And you see that the word of God will have the preeminence in your mind. But to say, oh, I'm afraid of it, so it will not happen, you're wasting your time. That's the wisdom of men. If you are afraid of death, death will come. I'm being hard this morning, right? What is the solution then? That's what I'm teaching. That you've got to use your mouth. You've got to talk. Fear is not the feeling to be managed. It's a spirit to cast out. He says, for we have not received what? The feeling of fear. Talk to me, somebody. The spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of a sound mind. He's a spirit. You're always of, he's a spirit. Cast it out. Amen. Cast it out. Cast it out. Glory to God. There was a time I was in a place all alone, and the whole place was dark, you know, and you know those childhood fear. As an adult preacher, you can imagine that. I said, Thor, be coming now. All the devils come out now. Me, I was the one talking. I said, if you are here, start coming out now. Start coming out. Let's talk. Come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, come out, come out. Let's talk. What was I doing? I was dealing with fear. You know, many years ago, I had a very rough flight. I think I was going to Lagos or so. He was so rough. I mean, almost a decade ago. He was so rough. It was at descent. You know, they will announce, everybody will start calling his God. Amen. Those who have not been in church for 10 years will start calling Jesus. Amen. They have not been around. Amen. Everybody just... And then you can see, you can sense fear. Somebody say, Jesus, Jesus, forgive my sins. Jesus. You know, you can sense, it's just fear. They don't know whether they are praying for protection or repentance so they can go to heaven. You can imagine that. I put my hand on the handle, on the side. I began to speak. The tongues wasn't for what is happening. No. The first tongues was to my heart. I said, my friend, will you... You can't fear. Shabbate. I was focused on kicking out fear from my heart. Are you with me? Because I knew the only thing that can kill anybody in that aircraft is fear. It's not the crash. People come out of crash. You have not heard. Google it. It will crash. You will come out. Are you with me? The problem is the fear. So I say, out of my heart, I refuse to fear. No weapon. Ma peko pataya. Amen. As I was speaking, my mind was on me, not the whole billy billy. No. It didn't bother me. It didn't bother me at all. Then when faith came in the midst of the storm, I said, Satan, go to the cockpit and fly this jet. Nothing can happen to me. And I relaxed. Are you with me? You know, the Bible calls it the peace that surpasses human understanding. That means those around you cannot understand it, but you are calm. Oh, it's possible. In the midst of storm, you are calm. You are calm. Very calm. And then that's where you tap in and say, don't worry, we're fine. So are you sure? We're fine. No, people are looking for people that have faith to lash onto. I say, we are fine. Oh, you remember Paul in the Bible? He stood and said, he said, guys, oh, there shall be no harm. The men and brethren, there shall be no harm. For the angel of the Lord, whose I am, appeared unto me in the night, and your life are secure. Listen, he was the prisoner in the ship. He said, don't worry, we'll be fine. except the loss of the goods, we are fine. What a confidence. He said, and it shall be as it was told me. I believe God that it shall be as it was told me. Oh, I believe God. How many of you believe God that it will be as it was told you? Then begin to speak it. Speak it from your little corner. Say, this business is going to the nations. Don't let your mind, no. Suspend your human logic. Don't let your mind hinder you. I am going to have a great home. In the name of Jesus, you are speaking. Speak. It is free to speak. You don't pay money. So speak. Let's read Job's. It's instructive. He says, for the things which are greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of, is come unto me. Imagine that. Next verse. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. You know what he's saying? He said, I was not quiet. That means he said, I'm not safe. Honey, I just see something is wrong. I just see something bad will happen to our children. Oh, I just feel. He says, I was not in safety, neither did I have rest, neither was I quiet. I was not quiet. I was talking. I just feel something bad will happen to my children. Then he'll go and sacrifice. Those sacrifices were in fear. He's here. He says, I was not quiet. I was not quiet. I just feel something. As a Christian, never talk like that. That's not wisdom. What do you mean, just feel something evil will happen? What is even the meaning of that? Cancel it. Amen. Cancel it. If you have bad dreams about people, cancel it. Don't say, when I dream it to come to pass. So what nonsense is that? That's nonsense. When I dream, it comes to pass. You've heard people say this kind of thing. Hey, somebody that I say, and I dreamt, oh, and he died, oh, and he finally died. It's not something to be proud of. Dreams, listen, dreams are not final. Okay? Dreams don't have the final say. I'm not getting to those funny things. I'm going to say, in my gym, that's how I had in my front. I had salad and three cross meat, Chinese rice. It was beautiful. Suddenly it was gari. I was okay. Pastor, what is the meaning of the dream? What nonsense is that? Give it. What meaning do you want to give it? When you wake up from the dream, you say, Satan, the gari and granite is yours. That's if you don't like it. If you like the gari and granite, what's the problem? Eat it now. Eat it. Don't stress us. Everything, Pastor, what's the meaning? What's the meaning of dream? Listen, judge every dream by the word of God. If it's not consistent with the word, use your mouth to cancel it. He said, in the name of Jesus, Satan, that's your first daughter you saw there. That was not me. That was not me. That is your children you are seeing there. That's not me. In the name of Jesus, I cancel it. I will never be in such place. I will never be in such place. There's a spirit husband. What do you mean by that? Kill him in the gym. Kill him. Suffocate him. Are you with me? Somebody is coming to sleep with you in your dream. Kill him in the dream. Poison him in the dream. You see, when the word of God is not being taught, am I saying those things don't happen? They happen. But see, there's the superiority of our covenant. Are you with me? There's the superiority of our covenant. You know, we heard a story during the week. some staff in a large organization went to Babalao to do charm, to kill the MD. Babalao today said, that man, that charm does not affect him. That his head is plastic. That charm does not affect him. I don't want trouble. Just go. That's Babalao's reporting. He said, that man's head is plastic. Charm, no, they touch him. So he told the people, just go or go somewhere else. Are you with me? Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So speak. Speak life. What was I saying before I gave this story? Amen. Pardon? The what? No, I'm talking about the immediate thing I said. I want to remember. Please help me. I said something before this story. Dreams, thank you. No, I needed to finish. I needed to cap it. Dreams are not final. You give the meaning you want according to God's word. So don't condescend. I was in the dream, and then there are people there, they become restless because of the dream. If you feel in your heart that you are to take a fast because of the dream, do it, but not from fear. Are you with me? Negative dreams are demonic suggestions awaiting your approval by your negative confessions. I've had a dream before. Now, was it a dream? Is it a dream or trance? Okay, I was lying down in my father's village. I was lying down. I was digging grave like this. Digging grave, seriously, sweating, digging grave. One guy tapped, he said, that is your grave you are digging. Amen. Are you saying? This was 20 years ago or so, 20 years. I was a very young man. He said this, and I stood up. I did not feel. No, the gospel had come to me. I opened fire in that village. I opened fire. I'm still here now. It's 20 years ago. And then I wake up, I'm shaking. Life like they say, this is your grave you are digging. I was digging and sweating. With the aid of simple, explain that life is spiritual. When I woke up, I opened fire. I spoke in tongues. I cursed every witch or wizard. Amen. After my life and destiny. Amen. Are you with me? Imagine if I was to interpret dream and be afraid. Many people died because of that. They wake up. It's the fear that will kill them. It's the fear. So please, that dream thing, judge it by the word and use your authority. Use your authority. What do you want? What do you want? Like a dear minister, I'll say, if you're driving car and then suddenly you see yourself driving bicycle and you wake up, tell the devil the bicycle is yours and the car is mine. And go on and move on. Are you with me? You were hungry and you fell asleep and you saw yourself eating in the dream. And then you woke up, you said, they're after your life. No, and I'll bring clarifications to that. There are times where demons try to project, and it's still a suggestion. Even if they give you food in the dream and you woke up sick, it's still a suggestion. Cancel it. But there are times you eat food in the dream, it's because you slept hungry. Even Peter, he was hungry when he slept, they brought food. Oh, he said, kill and eat in a trance. Oh, you didn't read it in your Bible. He said, kill and eat. Amen. You know, the person who trained me growing up when I was younger, I said, put your hand on your stomach. I turn the food to nourish my body in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll move on. That's how we raised though, years ago. We're still here. But see, we have spiritual intelligence. We know when it's Satan trying to project. And you see, the stronger your spirit, the more you have control over your dream. Okay. And then the more you can interpret what's going on. But you have, I used to keep people in my dream very well. Eh? And I used to continue dream. I do it. It's conscious because you're a spirit. I'm telling you the truth, I'm not lying. I'll sleep and wake up and then I don't like it. I'll tell myself I'm sleeping back now. I'll sleep back and continue until I obtain the victory. Do you understand? For real, it's no joke. And you train your spirit that way. You woke up. They say somebody slapped you in a dream and you woke up. Sleep back and slap the person back. Sleep back. And slap the person back. And slap the person back. Are you with me? I had a dream one day. It was a critical period in our ministry. And then I had a dream. I saw these native doctors doing all kinds of things. One of them wanted to attack me. In the gym, I killed him. I buried him. Amen. By myself. And I told everybody, as I have buried him. And then I woke up. Are you with me? We have the victory. So let your mouth speak. Hey, let your mouth speak. Give me chapter 1 verse 10 now. He says, I was not quiet about it. But question, was he not in safety? He says, I was not in safety and I was not quiet about it. But let's now see this. This was Satan testifying. concerning Job, okay, before the evil started happening to him. He said, have you not made an edge about him, about his house, and about all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. The first part I want you to see. Satan testified that God had made an edge or protection round about Job, round about his house, and round about all that he has on every side. So question, was Job in safety or not? He was. So Satan tricked him to talk negatively. Are you with me? Again, you see, this is why God gave Abraham a new name. He says, your name shall be called Abraham, no more Abraham. Why? The realm of the spirit responds to our proclamations. Are you still here? Glory to God. Psalm 103 verse 20. Quickly, Psalm 103 verse 20. Angels respond to the voice of God's word. So when they hear the voice of God's word in your mouth, they hearken. Oh yes, for real. They hearken. They hearken. Hallelujah. They hearken. So remember I told you that speaking this utterance builds your faith, and then is a way to which you release your faith. Speak loudly. Okay? Speak boldly. He said, bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, and hearkening unto the voice of his word. Hearkening unto the voice of his word. The angels follow the word. Are you with me? The angels follow the word. So every time you declare, you speak the word boldly, the angels hear you, especially the angels assigned to you. And we have taught that each person has at least one angel attached to them. Hallelujah. Are you blessed? All right. So talk boldly. We saw David speaking boldly. Okay. Mark 11:22-23 shows us how faith speaks. He said, if thou shalt say, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea. Now he gives us a background. You can put verse 22. I like to tell people that for us as believers, our speaking has a foundation. Okay? The power in our words is because we have the faith of God. It's because we judge God faithful. Are you with me? He says, have faith in God. Literally, what is he saying? Have confidence in the covenant. Come on now. Have confidence in the covenant. Have faith in God. That's what he's saying. So 23 says, for whosoever. So what is the foundation of the whosoever? Have faith in God. Have confidence in what Christ has done. Have confidence in the covenant. Then you shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea. And then you'll not doubt in your heart, but believe that the things you say come to pass. Now that line is saying, believe the things you speak will come to pass. No, you didn't catch it. He's not saying believe that the mountain you are telling to move will move. No. You are someone who believes in your own words. And this is why you should not lie. You see, lying affects your faith. It affects your faith. Why? It makes you doubt God's word unconsciously. So when the Bible says put away lying, you are the first beneficiary of the instruction. Are you with me? You see, the reason why many people find it difficult to believe God's word is because they don't even believe their own words. So to them, subconsciously, God is like their uncle. Or God's word is like their own words. Oh, don't worry. Abba. It's enough for now. I'll buy the phone for you. As they are saying it in their heart, they are not believing God to buy the phone. Okay, that's it. Stop disturbing me. I just want to see that to be free. Can you imagine that? You have a breach in your faith. It will be difficult to build confidence in God's word because you don't even have confidence in your own word. And kings don't speak like that. When kings speak, their words come to pass. So you begin to train yourself as royalty. Are you with me? That means you mean every word you speak, and you speak every word you mean. If you don't mean something, don't say it. Don't say it. You are not a child of the devil. Lying cannot be your second nature. Or your language, rather. No, it shouldn't be. Are you with me? So it says, when you train yourself to consistently believe the things you say, it's easy to move mountains. And you move those mountains by speaking. That's what he's saying. Whosoever shall say appear three times, believing appeared one time. Are you with me? That means there's emphasis on speaking. Okay, emphasis. Look at this. I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, I shall not doubt his heart, but shall believe in those things which he says will come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Three times. Are you with me? So pay attention to your words. Pay attention to your words. Glory to God forevermore. Pay attention to your words. They carry power. Start talking based on the covenant. You begin to see significant changes. Don't let the devil talk last. Okay? Don't let the devil talk last. Hallelujah. The second part is the obedience of faith. Number two. The obedience of faith. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Oh, the obedience of faith. Are you with me? The obedience of faith. Have you written it down? Now, this is simply talking about acting on God's word. Okay? All the instructions of the Spirit. This is how you demonstrate your confidence in the covenant. Acting on God's word. Acting on the instructions of the Spirit. And sometimes those instructions will come through the mouth of the anointed. Are you with me? Act on God's word. I know there is a teaching of obedience that has painted the picture of the world bringing burden. But you need to hear this. Are you ready to hear this? The word of God does not demand, really. The word of God supplies. Oh, the word of God supplies. If you have a contrary narrative, you will struggle. The word of God supplies. Glory to God. So the word of God is not demanding faith from you. He supplies faith to you. The word of God is not demanding love from you. He supplies love to you. He says, "Ekaba, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." That means your job is to hear. If you can sit down and hear, faith will come to you. So the word is not demanding faith. The word is supplying faith to you. The word is not demanding love. It's supplying love to you. He says, "For the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Spirit that is given unto you." So that understanding will shift your paradigm. You begin to see that, look, the word supplies. It's not demanding from me. There's no struggling with this thing. Even when God gives you an instruction, the power to do it is in the instruction. So the word supplies. It doesn't demand. Glory to God. He supplies. He supplies. Are you seeing that? He supplies. Is what the life, what the joy to know that the word supplies. So when we say action on the word, it's not the burden. Why? The word supplies the ability. Hallelujah. Your job is to keep hearing, is to keep listening, is to keep fellowshipping. The word is not demanding. So, oh, the word is demanding holiness from us. No, the word is supplying holiness to us. Oh, glory to God. Somebody say, oh, the word is demanding a prayer life from us. No, the word is supplying a prayer life to us. He's supplying. He's supplying. You don't hear this on the street. But if you don't see God's word like this, you will struggle. This is the reason many Christians are struggling. It's demanding. You know, as a young teenager, some say Christianity is difficult. I say, no, sir, it's not difficult. He said, oh, this new generation Christian. I began to show him scripture. I said, oh, really? How could it be? The Bible says his commandments are not grievous. Didn't you read it? His commandments are not grievous. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Okay, read from verse 1. His commandments are not grievous. Why? The word of God supplies. Never forget this. The word of God supplies. The word of God supplies. If he ever places a demand on you, the supply is in the word. And this is how God wants you to see his word. So when you see instructions from scriptures, a way of life, you see, the Bible is God's instruction manual for the life of righteousness. So when you read and it tells you how to do what to do, how to live, don't see it as a demand, see it as a supply. Receive the ability from the word. Oh, hallelujah. Receive the ability from the word. Receive the ability from the word. So we are doers of the word. The Greek word is poetis, where they got poets and performers from. We are performers of the word. We are doers, 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 doers. Why? The word of God supplies in us the ability. Yours is to hear it and to speak it. Hallelujah. Oh, and see, you offset the earth, the natural order on the earth, when you live by God's word. Listen, trust God with the strategic areas of your life. Oh, family life, finances. There are those who come to church, they clap. God is not the Lord of their money at all. When it comes to me, they say, no, God is not involved in this one. So when it comes to relationships, like, God is not involved. Okay? Let God be involved. Trust God in the different areas of your life. Live out His word. It's a demonstration of your confidence in this thing. And you will see the power and the wisdom of God manifest. You will see. Trust God with your life. With God, you can put your whole eggs in one basket. Trust God. Are you with me? Act on His word. Family life, finance, your health, your career, ministry, business. Trust God with it. Act on His word. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. Act on His word. Stretch with the covenant. Stretch with it. Stretch with it. Don't wait. Have it together. Stretch with it. There are already instructions given in scriptures, okay, concerning what I call the critical areas of your life. Your walk with God, your family life, your finance, your health, your career. There are instructions. Carry them out with joy. Are you with me? The reason why some people don't give is because they don't trust the covenant of prosperity. If you trust it, you will give. There's nothing God puts in my hand that I cannot give to Him. Absolutely nothing. I've given cars out. Cars, in plural. Many cars. Amen. And most times I had to do it, not because I had an extra car. Are you with me? Trust Him. Trust Him. Demonstrate it by acting on His word. By acting on the instructions of the Spirit. You are saying, I trust God. So you know the area where you hold back. Go fully. Act on His word. Act on the instructions of the Spirit. Okay? And sometimes, like I said earlier, those instructions will come from the anointed. Okay? From your pastor. Act on them. You will see God mighty. Oh yes, you see Him. How did Pastor Iyadebe become the Jew? Okay, one of the things that transpired. You know the story. The then general of Assyria came and announced, everybody close your account and bring to church. In those days, Christianity was raw. They don't manage your feelings. Amen. Close your account and bring to church. Apparently, he was the only one who did it. They came to church maybe after some time and said, okay, if you carry out the instruction, raise your hand. So he and his wife raised their hand. They saw that nobody's hand was up, so they dropped it. He said, no, raise your hand. Hallelujah. And of course, he blessed him. Act on God's word. The Bible says, marriage is honorable with bed undefiled. Act on God's word. Are you with me? Act on God's word. 21st century does not have, cannot reduce the authority of scripture. Are you with me? He says, give and it shall be given unto you. Act on the word. Glory to God. He says, in famine and at destruction thou shalt laugh. Meaning, rejoice at difficult season. Act on His word. When you do that, you begin to see the movement of the Spirit. You begin to see the movement of His power. You begin to see the movement of His glory. Act on His word. Are you with me? This is that we call it the obedience of faith. We must read James chapter 2, 14 to 26. Put King James first. We will stop here. Have you been blessed so far? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Are you ready? Now, this is James in the context of good works, talking about faith and corresponding action of faith. We're talking about demonstrating confidence in the covenant. Demonstrating confidence. There are things you do that shows that you trust God. Okay, that's what we're talking about. There are things you do. That shows that you honor God's work. You know God will show up for you. You know. And God will always show up because there is a certainty to what we have believed. 4 years, there's a certainty. There is. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He said, what does it profit, my brethren? Though a man say, I have faith and have no works, can faith save him? Okay. Let me read TBT. Let me just go straight reading TBT. I need to pay attention. That's the Passion Translation. You need to hear this. My dear brothers and sisters, what good is it if someone claims to have faith but demonstrates no good works to prove it? How could this kind of faith save anyone? For example, if a brother or a sister in the faith is poorly clothed and hungry, and you leave them saying, goodbye, I hope you stay warm and have plenty to eat, but you don't provide them with a coat or even a cup of soup, what good is your faith? Have it together. What good is your faith? That means if you truly believe God, you will stretch with this thing. You will stretch. Many believers are not stretching. Many believers are not coming out boldly to speak boldly and to act on the instructions of the word, on the instructions of the spirit boldly. Are you with me? But the miracles are in the obedience of faith. Obey him. Obey him. Remember, I told you that God shows up every time you demonstrate confidence in his covenant. He shows up. Whether the instruction is coming directly from the word, is coming from your prayer time, or is coming through the mouth of your pastor, your decision to carry out the instruction is called obedience of faith. And that decision is a demonstration of your confidence in the power of your God. And his power will be manifest. Oh yes, it will. It will. Hallelujah. Whether it's believing God for health, for it doesn't matter. Sometimes it's not even about what you're believing God for. Your stepping out in obedience opens you up to a new realm of possibilities. Are you here? He says, so then faith that doesn't involve action is phony. That means it's fake, it's fictitious. Did you get that? It's fake, it's false. But someone might object and say, one person has faith and another person has works. Go ahead then and prove to me that you have faith without works, and I will show you faith by my works as proof that I believe. Are you here? You can believe all you want that there is one true God. That's wonderful. But even the demons know this and tremble with fear before him. Yet they are unchanged. They remain demons. What he's saying is the transforming power of faith comes in the actions. In different areas, though, when you're about to journey to new seasons, God will give you instructions. Business, career, finance, family life. Do it. A woman may be fighting with her husband, fighting and fighting, and God says, honor this man. Maybe she hears it from church or reads it from the Bible. It's now your choice. Will you drop your ego and honor the man and do what God has said? Or it can go either way. God will speak to the man. The moment you yield and begin to act on the word, there will be a difference in your home. There will be a difference. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. He said they are unchanged. So the transforming power of faith is in the action. Have you been blessed? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Did you hear God's word? He's in the actions. He's in the actions. You see, one day I came to church in 2014. I had a Honda in 2014. And I just knew. You know, sometimes it's not because you heard a voice. You just know. You just know. I believe God was speaking to my heart that the next phase of this ministry is connected to this your Honda. This your Honda wonder. Amen. And I knew what to do. I gave it out as a seed. Until it opens, he opened a new season. He did. He did. Are you with me? Let me tell you something. There's something that is very powerful that according to the Bible was compared with God. It's called Mammon. So the examples I'm giving are very important and strategic. If you are here, you don't have landmarks financial sacrifice, either by instruction from the Bible or instruction from the Holy Spirit or instruction from your pastor or instruction from yourself, you are playing. You are playing. Are you with me? Because it's an area where you must manifest God. You know why? Caesar will always send for his coin. Rise to your feet. Thank you, Jesus. Are you blessed? Can you speak in tongues where you are? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
We believe the Word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.